This morning, I'm going to begin a series entitled Prospering God's Way, and it'll be about a four-part series on understanding how God wants us to prosper. I really believe that. Some people talk in terms of, at times they make poverty sound like something that should be embraced and accepted as normal. But we know that poverty is a work of the evil one, and God wants His people to prosper in every possible way. And I even believe that with finances. I believe that the Lord wants us to prosper. He wants us to be able to prosper so that we can give to other people and be a blessing to other people. As He says in the Old Testament, I want you to be the head, not the tail, the lender and not the borrower. And so we're going to be looking at that those principles here over the next several weeks. Today, the principle is this: first things first. First things first. And that kind of phraseology was made popular by Stephen Covey in his book on Seven Habits of Highly Successful People. And that whole thing about putting the first things, the most important things first. But Jesus was the one who really popularized it when He said in Matthew 6:33, "Seek first above everything else the kingdom, and then everything else will fall into place." And that's the idea, that if we will place God first in our finances, He will get everything else in order. So this evening, or this morning, as we talk about this subject, the big idea is God should get the first portion of our income. Let me tell you, one of the quickest, most foundational things that you can do to accelerate your spiritual growth is get this one established in your heart. Let God get the first place in your finances. I mean, there are many things that you can do to enhance your spiritual life. You know all the things that you can do. But for those that are here today, that maybe you're struggling with your finances and you're struggling with placing God first in your finances, I would encourage you, get this one in order, because it will accelerate many other areas in your life. The Bible talks a lot about finances. I think there's like, 500 passages in the Bible about faith and about the same number on prayer. When it comes to money, there's over 200 verses. 16 of Jesus' 38 parables have money as an issue within them. And so God centers on this thing because it reveals so much about our heart. I believe in part that money is a test from God. What will we do with it? Because what we do with it determines a lot about our own faith development. What we do with money is a clear revelation of the depth of our faith and the value that we have, our own personal values. So we're going to look at several points this morning. The very first one is this: the firstborn is either sacrificed or redeemed. The firstborn is either sacrificed or redeemed. So we're going to be looking at this whole idea of the first fruits. And this comes from Exodus chapter 13, verse 2, which says, God speaking, "Dedicate to me every firstborn among the Israelites, the first offspring to be born of both humans and animals belongs to me." He says in Exodus 13, verses 12 and 13, that the firstborn animals are to be sacrificed and the firstborn humans and unclean animals are to be redeemed. Redemption is buying back. It's something that's given to buy something back. And so the redemption that they were to give, and it says in verses 12 and 13, he says, redeem the person or the unclean animal with a lamb or a goat, something that is pure, that is spotless, that's without blemish. It is whole. Jesus, we know, was the Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world. That's what John the Baptist said. Now, I want you to follow me here about this whole idea of firstborn and first fruits and how Jesus, this applies to Him. Here is Jesus. He is the spotless Lamb, and we are the humans that are unclean. And I want you to follow me here. I believe that God gave Jesus as a first fruits offering to redeem us. Just as that lamb was given to redeem the human, and here in Exodus 13, Jesus, the Lamb of God, who was slain before the foundation of the earth, was given as a first fruit offerings to save us, to redeem us. The pure and spotless one covered the unclean ones, us humans. He has made us now whole and clean. So we see the correlation between the two. Jesus, the firstborn of all creation, as Colossians chapter 1 says, Jesus, the firstborn, God gave him as that first fruits offering to redeem all of mankind. Now, I want you to think about this. He gave Jesus as a first fruit offering, it says before, Revelation 13, before the foundation of the earth, before anybody had ever responded. Now, God knew people would respond, but he gave him even before anybody did respond, before there was any action. And it's the same correlation when we give our first fruits offering, our tithe. We give to God right off the top, not knowing, you know, what's going to happen tomorrow? Am I going to have enough money to pay the bills? It's this way of just saying, Lord, I trust you that you're going to take care of my needs and you're going to give me the increase that I need. Kind of teasing this out a little bit further, the Egyptians, you know the story about the last plague that came upon Egypt, and it says that the death angel went throughout and the firstborn of all Egypt died. But the firstborn of all of the Israelites, in fact, the entire Israelite nation, was covered by what? By the very blood of the lamb that was put on the doorpost of their homes. Jesus, again, let me just kind of reemphasize this thing. Jesus was that same way for us. He was God's lamb. His blood covers us. It makes us whole and spotless. Jesus was the first fruits offering, and mankind now is redeemed. The first belongs to God. Say that in your head, just with the first belongs to God. Listen to me. First day of the week, it belongs to God. I realize there are things people have to do and some have to work and such as that. But for those of us who don't have to work, the first day of the week belongs to God. We give Him our time. The first part of our paycheck belongs to God. We give Him our tithe. It's like the first fruits offering in Exodus. We give our tithe as an offering. We give our time, and God redeems the rest of our wealth and the rest of our week. Again, follow me here. By giving God the first part of my week, He redeems that week. By giving Him the first part of my wealth, He redeems that wealth. I mean, going back to this whole week thing, I've had over the years, people have said to me, you know, boy, things just go so much better when I'm in church on Sunday. I'm going to say this. I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad. This isn't a condemnation. It is an observation as your pastor, okay? I have never seen anything healthy happen when people decide to replace church attendance with travel or sports activity or excessive work or study or whatever it may be. And they always have a great reason. Well, we're doing this because we really want to build into our kids' lives. We're doing this because we all that kind of stuff. I've seen people do that over the years. They get further, drift further and further and further away from God. God says, you give me the first place in your week and I'll redeem that week. It'll be a blessing to you. It's the same way with your finances. The next point is this one of the first of the first. It comes from Proverbs chapter 3. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crop. We give God the very first part. God doesn't say accumulate everything. He didn't say, now bring in all of your crops and then partial out a tenth of it. No, He says, okay, once you start bringing in the crops, give me the first 10%. Not once you get it all in, then give me 10%. Now, that's important. It goes back to the first fruits festival of Leviticus chapter 23, right at the beginning of the harvest. Before all the crops have been brought in, it's just the first week or the first day, they are to give God 10% right there at the beginning. By giving God the very first portion of the crop, they were saying to God, God, it all belongs to you. And we have faith that you're going to take care of us. Even though we don't know what it's going to look like in week two and week three when we bring this harvest in, we're giving you this portion now, believing you're going to protect the rest and take care of us. It was an act of faith and obedience. You see this same principle in Joshua chapter 6. Remember Jericho, and here the people are leaving the desert and they're entering into the promised land. And the very first city they come to is Jericho. We all know the story of Jericho, how they walked around the city 6 days, and on the seventh day went around seven times, yelled, the walls fell down, and they took the city. God told them, though, in Joshua 6, you bring all of the bounty, all of the treasures of Jericho, and bring it to me. And so they did, with the exception of one guy and his family. And so the Israelites then take on the small city of Ai. And when they take on the small city of Ai, they get whipped. And they go to God, and God, they say, God, what's going on? And God says, because this man, Achan, has taken the first fruits. So that's me reading into it, but he's taken from me. They find out that's exactly what Achan did. Of all the treasures, let's say they had, 100 tons of treasure. He had like 10 pounds of treasure. And God says, I want that. I want that. And because he did not give it up at that time, he did eventually gave it up, but he didn't give it up at that time, the entire nation was cursed because one man took a little bit. Now, when he gave it, then and they took it from him, and Achan and his family was judged, then God blessed the people. Here's my point. By withholding even a small portion of the first fruits, the whole nation was judged, was disciplined by God. And it's the same way, I believe, with our finances. When we hold back, we're opening ourselves up to the enemy coming in and God truly not blessing us the way that he wants to bless us. He brought a curse. Achan brought a curse upon the whole nation because he withheld. And so when we withhold, I believe this goes back to Malachi chapter 3, and we'll look at it in a minute, but I believe it goes back to this principle. We're opening up a door for Satan to come in and to steal, kill, and destroy with our finances. Do you want things consecrated, set apart for God, or cursed? Do you want things to be set apart for blessing or open to the devil's attack? And that's what the tithe does. It allows for protection of our finances and blessing. Malachi chapter 3. Let me read that passage to you from the New Living Translation. Malachi chapter 3, verses 6 through 12. And this is important. The very first sentence, I am the Lord and I do not change. Let that settle with you, because there are some of you saying, well, tithe is an Old Testament concept. No, God says, I don't change. This principle has been around forever, before the law. I don't change. That's why your descendants of Jacob are not already destroyed. Ever since the days of your ancestors, you have scorned my decrees and failed to obey them. Now return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of heaven's armies. But you ask, how can we return when we have never gone away? And God responds, should people cheat God, yet you have cheated me? And you ask, what do you mean? When did we ever cheat you? And God responded, you cheated me of the tithes and offerings due to me. You are under a curse, for your whole nation has been cheating me. And that's exactly what happened with Achan. He brought a curse upon the entire people. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, and there will be enough food in my temple. And if you do, says the Lord of heaven's army, I will open up the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease. Your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for your land will be such a delight. God says, when you tithe, I will bless you. I will protect you. But when you don't, you're bringing a curse upon yourself. There's a gap. You're opening yourselves up to the work of the enemy. And I believe we see this as well in the story of Cain and Abel. And we'll get to that in just a minute. But there was this gap that opens up when we do not honor the Lord with the first fruits. Again, some people say that this is an Old Testament law code, but God says, I don't change. In other words, this is the way I operate. And I want you now, if you would, turn to Genesis chapter 4. Let's consider Abel the tither and this whole thing that the tithe belongs to the Lord, the principle of the firstborn, the first fruits, and the tithe, I believe, has been around all the way. And it starts right here in Genesis 4. And so there's two sons born to Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel. And it says in verse 3, when it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some of the crops as a gift to the Lord. Abel also brought a gift, the best of the firstborn lambs from his flock. The Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. This made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected. And God said to him, Lord, why are you so angry? Why do you look so dejected? You will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you, but you must subdue it and be its master. He's saying, look, this isn't hard. Just give me the best of your crops. In other words, he kind of like gathered in all of his crops and said, okay, I'm just going to give this portion to God. Instead of just gathering the first portion and say, Lord, this is yours. That's what Abel did. Abel gave the best. He gave the first portion. But not so with Cain. And again, it opened the door. He says, and God says, look, sin's crouching at the door, and it's going to get on top of you. It's this door, going back to Malachi chapter 3. When we don't tithe, we open up a door for the enemy to come in to steal, kill, and destroy. And we see it lived out in Genesis 4 because it's exactly what happened to Cain. I want you to consider Romans chapter 11, verse 16. It says, for if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root is holy, so are the branches. Jesus was given as our first fruit offering, and we are made holy. Abel gave his first fruit offering and the best of his lamb, and God was pleased. Malachi chapter 3, you give me the first fruits, you give me the tithe, and I will bless you. The first portion is what carries the blessing. It's what redeems the rest. Putting God first is what initiates the blessing. Here's what the tither says. The tither has a stack of bills, you know, just figuratively speaking. Let's say she's got $1,000 worth of bills. That's how much money she was paid for the week. Here's what she does. She says, okay, God, this was my paycheck. You get the first 100. Gets it right off the top. And here's what God does. He blesses the rest of the 90%. If you don't give that first 100, you keep it all, then it is under a curse. You see that? That's what is said in Malachi, that was what was lived out with Cain. You think about Abraham giving Isaac as a sacrifice to God. Now, he reasoned, it says in Hebrews chapter 11, he believed, you know what? God can raise my boy from the dead. How many sons did Abraham have with Sarah? Just Isaac. But he was willing to give Isaac because God had given him a promise. He said, you look up at the stars of the sky, and he says, as vast as as many stars as you see, so will your offspring be. And it says he believed God. And he said, okay, God, I'm giving you my son. And of course, God did not have him kill his son, but still, he got him right to the very edge. And you think about Abraham today. His seed, his physical seed, is as vast as the stars in the heaven. The three largest faiths in the world all point to Abraham as the founder of their faith. Christianity, the Muslim faith, and the Jewish faith. I'm not saying they're all going to go to heaven. I'm just saying we all point back to that one man and say he is the father of our faith. God kept his promise because Abraham gave his first fruit offering in his son. What about true tithing? I want to talk about that and then wrap up the message. True tithing. Giving God your first fruits when there's no backup plan. Say, you know what? I'm just going to trust you right here, right now. I'm going to trust you. That is what pleases the Lord. When they gave the first livestock, they were saying, Lord, it's the best. It's the first part. And they gave their first fruits from their harvest. Lord, it's the first. It's the best. They were trusting that God was going to fill in the rest. Are you giving God the first part? I want to tell you, I can tell your faith level by looking at your bank account. Now, I'm not going to, okay? I wouldn't ask for that. But you can. You can look at your bank account, and by looking at it, you can tell your faith level, whether or not you're trusting God. You see, if you're truly tithing, when Satan begins to tempt and when he begins to come against you and begins to afflict you with sickness or tries to cause problems in marital relations or whatever in your life, if you're tithing, you can say, get your hands off. I have given the first part to the Lord, and God has promised that He is going to protect me against the destroyer. That's Malachi 3. He has promised the windows of heaven are going to be open to me. You have authority to speak against Him because you're obedient to Him, and God has given you that promise in Malachi 3. Your life is protected by God, and you can tell Him to get His hands off. I mean, let me just ask you, would you rather have 100% that's under a curse or 90% that's blessed of God? Now, here's the sad tragedy. Too many Christians are living with their finances and their lives under a curse. It is estimated that Christians alone bring in, this is just in the world, $20 trillion in income every year. But they only give 1.5% of that to the church. Now, just again, I've said this many times. Think about if every Christian tithed, all that could be done with that money. I mean, just every need that we could ever imagine would be met if Christians would just tithe. But besides that, that's huge. Think about how many Christians whose lives, whose marriages, whose health, whose jobs, whose finances are not blessed because they don't tithe. And if they would tithe, they would be a testimony to so many people of God's blessing. I'm going to tell you, somebody who does tithe, my life has been blessed, and I can tell other people about it. But I'm telling you, there's some people who's, because they don't tithe, their life has not been blessed. They live an impoverished life. Maybe they got money, but their relationships are impoverished or whatever it may be. God promises, I will bless you in every way. True tithing, there is truly a blessing with us. This is all possible. All these blessings are possible if you put God first in your finances. So just to wrap everything up, God should get the first portion of our income. If we want to prosper God's way, that one needs to be settled in our lives. Now, I know whenever I preach a message like this, there are people out there saying, oh, that preacher, all he talks about is money or whatever. If that's your attitude, man, you've missed it. Because that's not what this is about. It's about understanding that God has given you everything. Everything you have. He's given you life. He's given you a brain. He's given you a body to work with. He has put you in this nation of prosperity. He has blessed your life incredibly. And understanding that it all belongs to Him, and He just wants to give me that first 10%. I mean, that's what this is about. If you want to live under the fullness of God's blessing, then get this principle down. First things first. I'd encourage you, make a plan. Begin right now. Say, okay, God, I'm going to begin a plan. If you're not already tithing, begin working a plan to give on every time that you are paid and to begin giving on a percentage basis. If you say, I'm not sure I'm going to start at 10%, I'll let that be between you and God. Start at some percentage level and then work towards that 10%. Teenagers, some of you are starting jobs. And it was easy to give when you were a kid and given an allowance and you were able to put $1 or $2 in the plate. But now that you're making a couple of $100, you know, every other week or whatever, it's like, man, I'm not sure I can give. No, get it down. Get it down now. Start tithing and let it be a part of your life. Live under the blessing of God now. And for some of you, maybe you say, that's really hard. But there may be some easy areas in your life that you can cut back so that you are able to give more. Look at those ways. There's some maybe luxuries that you're participating in, some, I don't know, programs you feel like, you know, we're really not using them to their fullest extent, whatever they may be, that you can kind of cut back to give yourself that opportunity to be able to give at a higher level. And finally, I want to say this. There are a few of you, I don't know who you are, but there are a few of you that tithing is no big deal because God has blessed you immensely with finances. And I would encourage those of you to go beyond the tithe. Move into grace giving. Think above, okay, what is really a sacrifice where I can put the Lord to a great test here? Consider that. Well, these are great opportunities and great days to learn about how we can prosper God's way. I encourage you to be here every Sunday as we look into His Word on this matter. All right, would you join me in prayer? Father, we recognize that all good gifts come from above. And we thank you for blessing us with finances. And we thank you for the opportunity to join you in your work and using these finances to build your kingdom further. I pray for those here today that maybe they're not giving the first fruits and they're fearful, that you would break off that spirit of fear and impart to them today a great spirit of faith and confidence that you're going to meet their needs as they step out in faith in these areas. And Father, I pray that quickly they would see you working in their lives as evidence of their obedience. And I ask this be done in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, I want to speak this blessing over you from 2 Thessalonians. Before I do that, I'd encourage those of you who need prayer, whatever's going on in your life, come forward. The Deacon of the Week will be available in the first service, and at the end of the second service, there will be our prayer team, and I know they would love to pray for you. Our first-time guest in the second service, my wife will be in the atrium. Please stop by and get acquainted with her, and we have a special gift for you. Now, from this blessing, or from 2 Thessalonians, let me speak these words of blessing over you. We hear that some of you are living idle lives, refusing to work and meddling in other people's business. To you, we command to, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to settle down and work, earn your own living. As for the rest of you, dear brothers and sisters, never get tired of doing good. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you his peace at all times and in every situation. May the Lord himself be with you all. Amen.